Oh my God, you guys. Into the Spider-Verse. Mwah, mwah, mwah. We're going to talk about that. We're going to give you a spoiler-free review and a spoiler-filled review. We're going to talk about some news that maybe the Defenders do have a chance of coming to Disney Plus, according to one Disney executive. Who knows? Plus, what movie could be filming a World War I scene in the Marvel Universe? Let's talk about that and Spider-Verse today on Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Zach, hello! Zach! It's fine, I'll just do the show by myself. Hey, guys! Oh my gosh, he's really in it. Zach! Oh my God, I was gonna throw my laptop at you!
Oh, sorry. I was listening to the Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack, which I have done at least 6 times this week.
Same.
So good. Hey guys, welcome back to Marvel Movie News, coming to you live from a version of Manhattan.
I like that.
A version. This is Universe BC3100 Alpha.
I'm not sure about that.
Shut up, Siri.
Oh, Siri.
And in this universe, Siri works off of that random string of numbers.
Interesting. I feel like that means something to her. That's kind of scary.
If you can, hey guys, if you're enjoying the show, subscribe to us on iTunes. Find us on youtube.com/thepopcorntalk or youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. Follow us at The Popcorn Talk or at Marvel News PTN. If you tweet a link to the show, you can get a retweet from The Popcorn Talk or from that would be from Aunt Anthony in the booth.
What's up, everybody? We have a great show for you today. I know that was a little loud, sorry about that, but my God, the Spider-Verse was pretty loud too.
Oh God,
and it was great. A great kind of loud for my eye holes.
It was so good. And tweeting from at Marvel News PTN is Colt Badeau in the Star Jammer. Who am I? I'm Zach Wilson.
Who are you?
Who is my fantastic co-host? It's Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi, guys. I am also in the chat. So chime in because we're going to be talking, obviously, a lot about Spider-Verse, but everything else, too, that happened in this week.
Yes.
Like Marvel stuff.
A bunch of news to talk about. Not a huge news week, but some interesting stories to discuss. And then stick around. We're going to do it at the back of the show. We're going to first do a spoiler-free review of Into the Spider-Verse in case you guys haven't seen it. And then we're going to throw up our arms, change the lights, and go into spoiler mode to give you our true just like unabashed fan boy and girl reactions. Mm. I'm gonna be fangirling personally.
Me too. It's the best kind of fanning.
Yes, it is. And then we're gonna get as much as we can into it. And then I think when we come back, and we'll make this announcement now, and we'll remind you guys at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna be dark for the next 2 weeks due to vacation time and traveling and all that. But then we will be back for the show on January 10th. After the new year, and boy howdy, are we gonna get even deeper into Spider-Verse when we do that.
And when we do come back, we'll be so freaking close to Captain Marvel.
Oh, we'll be 2 months out, and then 3 months until Endgame. But speaking of Endgame, let's transition into our first topic of the day, the night. Who knows what time it is in this universe? Mm-hmm. It hasn't hit yet, but details about the Endgame IMAX trailer have started to come out as people have seen it, and I guess as like movie theaters are testing it, the files and stuff. And apparently there's no new footage in it.
Yeah.
But the change in aspect ratio for the IMAX screens has revealed some answers to questions that people had in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I guess that little bit more you see at the top of frame has confirmed that it is definitely Tony Stark that Nebula puts her hand on. There was a question, we talked about it last week, and like, I don't think we had any doubt that it was Tony Stark.
Yeah, but I know. Well, didn't I make it sound like, well, what if that person isn't alive? Which we still, I mean, we don't know.
Well, apparently in this, we do know. It's Tony.
Is he fully alive, though?
I haven't seen it, but the reports say that it is Tony.
But it could be Tony, but he could be dead.
Oh, no. Don't you put that juju on him.
I don't know. You just never know. If we prepare you guys for the worst, and we watch it, and we're like, hey, guys, look, everyone's fine. Ah. Then it'll be great, you know?
And apparently also in that shit, you can clearly see that it's the Benatar. It's not a different ship. Apparently there was a theory. I didn't even know about this one until I was reading about this trailer. There's a theory that like there's a huge time jump because of Natasha's hair.
Yeah, okay, I
heard
that too.
Like a ponytail changed. Apparently cleared up in this trailer once people saw it on a bigger screen. And then we're gonna get to see some more of Farmer Boy Thanos's outfit.
Yeah, which I would like to see. I'm curious.
Once we can see it on the big screen, we could probably confirm that the Infinity Gauntlet is crushed to his hand and not going anywhere. It's fused to Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
What he always wanted.
I know.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Do you have any other thoughts on those revelations?
Well, have you seen the trailer since we last talked about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. I physically cannot. So I'm just curious if you guys in the chat want to chime in. How many times have you seen the Endgame trailer? Because it's still emotionally too much. Gamer Girl said, don't do that to us, Amy. I don't think Tony is dying, but I don't think he's dying that early. You do think he's dying, but you don't think he's dying that early in the movie.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I think he has to get back to Earth. So I'll let this prediction out. Uh-huh. I think that Tony is going to survive this movie.
Cap?
There's no way Captain America makes this movie alive.
Okay, I think they're both gone.
I think partially it's based on like what I think the actors want to do. And I think that Tony Stark, I think that Robert Downey Jr., I don't think he's going to do another Iron Man movie, mm-hmm. but I think that he would be totally on board with doing what he did in Spider-Man again mm-hmm. a few times. So I think a Tony Stark as like this like kind of guy who just like Nick Fury-esque, like where he just pops up in things here and there, I could see him doing that. Chris Evans seems like he's done with the role, and also I don't know that you have much more. That's the other thing. I think that Tony Stark as the trainer of like where he like doing something like the Avengers Initiative
mm-hmm.
In the comics, where it's forming different teams that can plan for all these different events, whatever comes up. Mm-hmm. That's something I could see Tony Stark doing. I don't know where else you have to go with the MCU version of Captain America. I think the most interesting storyline for Cap is for him to die, and then it becomes, how do you replace his mantle? It's more about Bucky and Sam and how they are reacting and how they have to both step in to fill his shoes in Captain's America on Zomerica. Disney Plus.
Yeah, some
take
people...
that title, Disney.
There you go. We gave it to you. Well, no, Zach gave it to you. Okay. So people are stressing. Ivan Soto says, Stark cannot die. Steve better live. He also said, we need to see Tony and Pepper with their baby. DeAndre Sanders says, he watched the trailer about 5 times. Gamer Girl says, I'm on the opposite end. I think Cap's surviving. Chris Evans said he'd be open to return as Cap.
He said that because he was way too open about like, yeah, I'm done with this role. And they're like, dude, you can't talk.
Dude, yeah.
You gotta like let people think that you're gonna survive.
See, people want Cap to become president. Oh, no. Okay, so CGM Show says make Cap president or the new head of S.H.I.E.L.D. Zeno Hour says Tony Stark becomes president. Cap retires. So we have the complete opposite.
Ah, interesting.
So we'll have to
There is precedent for both, there is precedent for Tony running for president and like taking on a major political role. I would be interested to see that. Or at least being Secretary of State, I think. Or was he Secretary of Defense? Whatever.
Defense sounds cool. I feel like that.
Either way. Yeah. Moving on in news. Mm-hmm. This was like a little like leak from an Italian website, like an Italian blog called Bad Taste, who claims that Marvel is scouting and is set to film a scene in a region in Italy called Racconigi. I'm sorry, I don't know how to If I tried to do an Italian accent to pronounce it, it would not go well.
No. Racconigi.
Racconigi.
G. Racconigi. I took Italian in college.
Racconigi.
Guys.
I'm sorry. I apologize to any Italians who might have heard that. But the bigger part of that rumor is that apparently they're filming in that region because it's going to be set during World War I. And that's an interesting time period to do. Obviously, Wonder Woman just tackled World War I in a big way. But it's also a question of what movie on the slate could possibly be set in that era. Mm-hmm. The main theories that I've seen are Black Widow doing a flashback scene, because Black Widow is not going to be a flashback. It's not going to be set in the past entirely, mm-hmm. at least. It's going to pick up with Natasha in post-Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
But you could go back to the formation of the Soviet Union and all the programs and spy agencies that formed that ended up causing her to go through what she had to go through. The Red Room.
Yeah, and I mean, the timing works, like, even for the film coming out, you know, they would be filming that now.
Yeah, they're in early production. Like, supposedly they're going to be filming next year.
Mm-hmm.
As early as, I think, late 2019 or more likely 2020. But scouting makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? Because we don't know what the slate looks like beyond Spider-Man.
I know. I'm scared, but excited.
Other theories include The Eternals. The Eternals are mm-hmm. eternal. They've existed on Earth for millions of years. So having scenes set in World War I makes mm-hmm. total sense.
That's what Zeno Hour is thinking too.
Yeah, it adds up, and it could just be a quick thing in a battle. Like, you could have any of those characters who have been living amongst humans and just fighting in that war,
mm-hmm.
fighting in a series of wars. Like, you could have them in wars throughout history, which could be a really cool sequence. I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
The other theories I had are Doctor Strange. Assuming he gets the Eye of Agamotto, the Time Stone, back.
Yeah.
Time travel is always in play with him, just looking into the past. Who knows?
Who would you want it to be the most? Which movie would you want it to be?
I think Eternals is the most interesting version. Like, the mm-hmm. flashback for Black Widow, that would be fine. But cool. But it has the most potential to affect an Eternals movie because it says so much about how much we're going to see of the past.
Mm-hmm.
If my crazy wild swing of a theory that Kang shows up in Endgame,
mm-hmm.
who knows what kind of time travel shenanigans we could be getting into post-Endgame.
Yeah, I want to hear everyone's theories too, because obviously, this isn't official. Like, we don't know where it's going to be. And, I mean, I don't know.
The Conqueror.
Okay, you heard it here first.
Kang's getting his own movie for some reason. No, he's not getting his own movie. Silver Surfer, though.
You heard it
though.
Here first. No, I'm just kidding.
Silver Surfer, though.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that one. Because, he'd have to show up heralding.
Yeah.
But I bring that up also because it transitions us into the next topic.
Okay.
Adam McKay.
Yes.
I just
talked to him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, at the Vice premiere.
Well, he's been talking to a bunch of people,
yeah.
including the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast,
mm-hmm.
where he said that he was approached by Kevin Feige in the past about directing the Inhumans movie back when it was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many questions as to what that looks like from Adam McKay. And then I guess probably more recently, he was approached about directing Guardians 3. That's the bigger news. The Silver Surfer transition, he said he would be interested in doing a Silver Surfer movie.
Hmm.
This is more just like a casual, oh, that'd be cool to do that.
Yeah.
But...
So Adam McKay has done The Big Short. Have you seen that one?
The Big Short with Steve Carell is a political drama, but he's also directed Anchorman.
Yes. And most recently, Vice, which has been, nominated for a bunch of, awards like Golden Globes, I think maybe even Critics' Choice Awards.
And have you seen Vice?
I have not.
Okay.
But oh my gosh, that cast.
Is it more serious or more in tone with The Big Short?
I think it's gonna be a little bit more serious than The Big Short.
Big Short was pretty serious.
Yeah, oh, yeah, but there was like some comedic moments.
Yeah,
there. Not
yeah.
Anchorman comedic moments. No, but no. Maybe yeah, maybe closer to Big Short. Short. Yeah.
I would be like Adam McKay's a choice for Guardians. That's it's not a bad idea. He has a great sense of comedy, and that's what Guardians needs. It's actually something I didn't even have it in the rundown, but it is something that I overheard. Apparently, I don't have her name in front of me. The woman that's directing Black Widow had mentioned somewhere that Disney executives were telling her, or Marvel executives were telling her, you don't have to worry about the action sequences for the movies, which some people interpreted to mean like, oh, you don't want her to do the action sequences. But apparently it was also said, there were similar things said to like Taika Waititi.
Oh, Kate Shortland?
Kate Shortland. Mm-hmm. And this is rumor. I like, there's not, this is not like, mm-hmm. oh, Marvel is like saying she doesn't have to do the action sequence. My understanding of it is that they also said this like Taika Waititi, who had not done big budget action things. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we want you for what you can do with the character stuff.
Yeah.
And then the action stuff, we have people that are super experienced with it to help guide that where you don't, in case you don't need, in case you're not sure what to do. It's more of a yeah. like, don't like, feel free, like you could take the job if that's the thing that like is worrying you about it.
That's interesting, because I feel like as directors, like you obviously, I mean, you have your strengths, duh. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's part of the challenge where it's like, how do you learn? You probably like maybe co-direct with someone that does specialize in those kinds of, you know, yeah. action sequences.
Well, you have a good like fight like, court. You have good fight choreographers, yeah. visual effects, storyboarders, and yeah. you have people on board who can, and like in the way that Marvel is much more run like a TV show than a traditional film.
Yeah.
Because you have people that carry over between movies and can bring, and you have Kevin Feige really show running the Marvel universe and like handing over, okay, you take this episode, you take like, here, Taika, take this Thor Ragnarok episode and do your thing. Have fun with it. But I also need you to make sure that it falls in line with everything else that we're doing. Because only Kevin Feige sees, like, the entire yeah. beautiful mind spreadsheet of, like, insanity.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, just talking to him. So I was at the red carpet because I know there were some questions. So at the red carpet, everyone was super excited for Vice. And so just to get to talk to him, to see like everything that really goes on in his mind, obviously, you know, like when you go to carpets, like you have to do your research and see, mm-hmm. you know, press junkets that have been done and everything. And I feel like he brings the resourcefulness, if that makes sense. Like he would do his hardcore research to make sure that Guardians would be what it needs to be.
Adam McKay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big Short to me was a wonderful movie, and it also showcased that he can handle drama as well as he can handle comedy. And Anchorman is just like, it's a kind of movie where the more you watch it, the more you're like, this is really well written comedy. Like yeah. the first time I saw Anchorman, I think I didn't like it, and then the second time I saw it, I loved it over the top. It was like a weird movie, and I've talked to other people who had the same thing with that.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing that Anchorman falls into.
Yeah,
but I think, look, it sucks that James Gunn isn't going to be doing it. He's doing Suicide Squad 2 now, and that, like, suddenly it's, I actually want to go see Suicide Squad 2.
Same.
But if we can't have James Gunn doing it, somebody's going to have to direct this movie. If Adam McKay is talking about it, he's probably not doing it, but I like that they're thinking of people like him.
You don't think he's doing it? Why?
Why would he say?
Because why not? Because well, he didn't even say that, like a certain movie. So he said, "Oh yeah, well, I would, you know, Guardians, but I would also like to do."
He said that he was approached about doing Guardians 3. That Kevin Feige asked him if he was interested in doing it. Not that they offered it to him, but he was approached about it. He was also approached about Inhumans. Like, I guess Kevin Feige saw way funnier Inhumans than what DV got.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's out of the question. It just, yeah, if they're looking at Adam McKay, who else are they looking at?
Yeah, that's my bigger question yeah. is like, what? So guys, let us know in the comments, like what, I don't want to spend too much more time on this because we have Spider-Verse to talk mm-hmm, about. Mm-hmm. But let us know who you think, if you're going to go straight up comedy like this, who could you see doing Guardians of the Galaxy 3? This one's more fun.
Okay.
This is a quick thing. The Men in Black trailer dropped today, and not a Marvel movie per se, even though comics like technically are owned by Marvel or like
Marvel. Okay, so it
published
was,
under their
So Men in Black was originally published by Arcel Comics, and that was later bought out by Malibu Comics, which was later bought out by Marvel Comics. Ta-da!
Yeah, Marvel owns everything, and now Disney owns it. But this is not even this is not even a Disney movie. It's like, but let's just take a look at this one moment from the Men in Black International trailer, which stars Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson teaming up again after Thor, which is especially relevant when you watch this clip. Roll it, Anthony. Let's take a look.
Looks like the tables have turned.
Picks up a hammer.
Oh!
Incredible catch.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Now you get why. Yeah. Yeah. Chris Hemsworth threw a hammer at somebody, and then the fact that they're going to go that meta in it, the rest of the trailer looks fantastic. We don't need to we don't have time to talk about Men in Black on this podcast, but as somebody who loves all three original Men in Black movies, this one looks this one looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I love that they're throwing some Thor hammers around.
It's honestly, it's weird to see him hold such a small hammer.
Yeah.
I'm like, that should be bigger. I don't know. But yeah, I'm
like,
excited.
I mean, look, if he can throw a hammer this size, and it looks way bigger compared to me than it does compared to Chris Hemsworth. This is probably the size of that hammer, actually.
Actual size? Wait,
yeah, like the one he threw in that trailer. Just like compared to me, I'm holding up a toy. For those listening to this, I'm holding up a toy Mjolnir. This is probably the size of the hammer that Chris Hemsworth
picked up.
He's a big dude, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I am not.
Yeah. I'm excited because it is going to be comedic, and we're going to see a little, even in the trailer, you could see a little bit of Thor Ragnarokiness.
Yeah. Well, Hemsworth is just a brilliant comedy actor. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't really get to see it until like Ghostbusters when he was in that. And like, that movie has its issues, with like too many cameos and like all that kind of stuff, but he just like was so funny, and among a great cast, because everyone else in that movie, all the women in that movie are hilarious, but it was just, he was the surprise. He was the one where you'd like, I didn't think he was gonna be so funny. Everyone, all the lead actresses in that, I'm like, yeah, they're great actresses, I expected them to be funny,
they're comedians.
Yeah. But Chris Hemsworth, you're like, why are you so funny, dude? When did this happen? Apparently he's always been that way.
Lucky us.
Yes. Now Marvel TV time, as we get towards the speeding through this news.
Marvel movie news, we're talking TV time.
Air guitar. All right, we're gonna revisit this story once again with some more news. The Netflix shows leaving Netflix. Are they going to be on Disney Plus? Are they going to be on Hulu? Are they going to be anywhere? The saga continues.
Yeah.
This week, Kevin Mayer, I believe it was Kevin Mayer, told The Hollywood Reporter when asked about the Netflix shows, they're very high quality shows. We haven't discussed that, but I would say that's a possibility in regards to them coming over to Disney Plus. Does this mean anything? Impossible to know.
That's okay. So whenever we get to situations like this, we always have higher ups being like, well, it could be, but we don't know. Well, maybe, but we're not sure.
Yeah.
The possibilities are endless. So really, we don't know anything. And what we do know is that right now, they're no longer going to move forward in the Netflix world.
Yes.
Netflix-iverse.
And there are contracts that prevent Disney from immediately doing things with those characters.
Yeah.
Until assumed 2020.
Yeah.
But beyond that, who knows? Disney has enough money that if they really wanted to, I'm sure they could buy Netflix out. There's any number of things. There's any number of things that could happen.
Yeah.
I don't mean buy Netflix. I mean like buy themselves out of the contract.
Oh, okay. I'm like, yeah.
No. To just be like, here's tons of money. Now we own Daredevil outright again.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they don't necessarily need to do that. This doesn't add anything, but I figured you guys would want to know that the Disney executives who are, and apparently Mayer is like potentially in line to take over for Bob Iger, so he is fairly high up the chain, is at least not saying absolutely no way. They are open to the possibility.
So
and
there.
And now we move on, because that's really all there is. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Woohoo!
It's an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. minute. That's how I have to say it. And it really will only take a minute, because the only news is that they wrapped production on the physical production on season 6, and we know that because the VFX supervisor Mark Kolpak tweeted out this image of the rap party.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He just tweeted out that there's nothing, like, you can't like dig anything into it. He just like is like, hey, we wrapped, here's a rap party picture.
Boop.
And yeah. So they're not done with VFX. Uh-huh. So this guy's still working.
Yeah. Chloe Bennett also went on Insta Stories, and I think before they started shooting for the last day, they were just handing each other presents and stuff.
Oh, nice.
In the trailer. That's so adorable. Yeah, I think she was, she might have been wearing a onesie. Chloe Bennett.
That adds up.
Yeah, yeah.
I follow her on Instagram. That adds up.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty fun.
The only real like thing that might come out of this is they're wrapped 5 months, 6 months before their premiere date. On physical production, this is a show that's usually in production as they're airing in the past. So there is a rumor that they're finished so early, and the pickup for season 7 came so early because they're going to get right back into production. Or maybe just that the writer's room is going to immediately assemble to get going on next season so that they can start filming right away. Like, not waiting for the season to air before they start up for season 7.
This was a shorter season.
It's a 13-episode season. It makes sense that they would wrap earlier, but and there's a bigger delay because of the wait for Endgame. You know, there's a ton of different factors at work here. But we could see production on season 7, like, maybe aimed for a January release so that mm-hmm. We get a summer and then a break for the fall and then back up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in January.
Would you want that? Would you want it to be like Bam Bam?
I think having the fall off would be fine. I mean, we're used to 22-episode seasons.
Yeah.
On 22-episode seasons on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But they've always been, with the last season as a somewhat of an exception, they've usually been very good about dividing those seasons into two parts anyway, so that it feels like you're getting two seasons, because they keep the arcs on lower episodes, which is part of why I love that show, is mm-hmm. that they can move through different storylines. Like, you can do Ghost Rider for a little while and then move on and do an LMD storyline. Mm-hmm. And that way how are we going to stretch out this Ghost Rider story for 20 episodes when it's only going to take 10 to tell the story?
Mm-hmm.
You spend 10 episodes and then you just do a different thing. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has so many characters, you can spend that time.
I'm also curious to see if we're going to see any kind of effects from the MCU in, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because we've had that before.
I hope so. They're usually good about it. And that's makes sense.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it for the news, guys.
Yeah.
Which means it's time to talk Spider-Verse. But spoiler-free review first.
Mm-hmm.
Amy.
Yes.
I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah.
No, without giving away any spoilers.
Yeah.
For people who haven't seen it,
mm-hmm.
what did you think of Into the Spider-Verse?
I'm not saying, this is not an overstatement, I would say, in my opinion, but it's one of the best animated films I have ever seen in my entire life. I also really think that it's approachable for people that have never seen any Marvel anything. You can just like jump right into it. I also think it's really funny. It is surprisingly, you would think it is funny because it's like, woohoo, you know, we saw the trailer, but that only gives you a little taste of what it was going to be, which it was. And yeah, obviously the animations. What? It's revolutionary, honestly. I don't think we've ever seen anything like it. I think this will be the start of something completely different from here on out. And I think if people really pay attention, this could, you know, not just impact Marvel, but it could impact DC and other comics as well. Especially if, you know, you're someone that's kind of into comics, I think this one is a great film to really like submerge yourself into the comic-iverse. Yeah. Not just the Spider-Verse. And also, the voice acting is fantastic from everyone, even people like you might not even know are in the film, you know, voicing certain characters.
There are spoilers in the casting.
Yeah, I wouldn't go onto IMDb if you don't want to be spoiled. I think part of the charm of watching it for the first time and hearing the voices for the first time is being like, wait, that person sounds familiar. Oh my gosh. And then it like finally hits you and then you're like, what? And yeah, I mean, you're not going to see all the characters that you think you're. The trailer didn't give away too much is what I'm trying to say. So there's nice little tidbits and gems when you watch it, and highly, highly recommend for everyone, not just nerds, everyone. Yeah.
The movie is like, it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
It's.
That's an understatement.
That's an understatement. And I was worried going in that it was going to be overhyped because everyone before I'd seen it had talked about, oh my God, it's the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen. It's just this, it's the best movie of this year. Like, so I was like, okay, let's make, I don't want it to be over, because I've had that before, like where it's like everyone's super excited. And I thought it was like, that was good. It wasn't. But this was just like, phenomenal from start to finish. I literally cannot nitpick it. There are no moments that I didn't like. I liked everything about it. As somebody who loves Spider-Man and also loves the concept and also is in love with the concept of multi-universe like storytelling and like different ideas of like, oh well, what changes when like one little thing happens and like how does the universe shift around that. This is like a brilliant movie. It uses sci-fi and like and those concepts of the universe, like and the multiverse in brilliant ways. The story is heartfelt and really deals with the idea of what it is to be a hero. In which, when you get down to it, that's the thing, is that when you see this movie, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who wrote it, who are like the primary like or produced it rather. And we're involved in the writing. This is one that like they got to the heart of what Spider-Man is, and they made that movie.
Yeah,
like this is, if you like Spider-Man, you're going to love this movie because it knows what Spider-Man is.
Well, and if you're not as familiar with Spider-Man, like if you're like, oh yeah, you know, Tobey Maguire, what he was Spider-Man once, right? This will make you feel everything that I think people reading the comics and growing up with the comics felt. Like, it's like slapping your face like, oh, I get it. And I think that that hits so close to all nerds, honestly, but obviously to Spider-Man nerds, that it's like, holy crap, like, wow, I understand comics. Like, I understand why you guys love reading these things. I understand why you're so fully, you know, into this Spider-Verse and just Marvel Universe. Like, that's what it is. It's like the most Spider-Man-y thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, it is. It is. From start to finish. And there's tons of Easter eggs in it that we'll talk a little bit about once we move into a spoiler-protected territory. But it's just unabashedly fun. But I also like was teared up at like at least a couple moments, and I left feeling really good, like feeling good about like the world, which is tough to do these days. I want everybody to see this movie. I want you all to see it multiple times because it's so good. I thought the depictions of the characters were all really fantastic and varied, which is really cool. As you can see, I'm a big fan of Spider-Gwen. I've got my Spider-Gwen hoodie on that I'm rocking. I also brought in, you might have seen it on the desk, I'll hold it up. This is my copy of the first appearance of Spider-Gwen, which is the first printing, because I remember going to the event at Comic-Con when Dan Slott like went on stage and announced Spider-Verse, the comic event. And I was just like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. And they announced the Gwen Stacy Spider-Woman idea. Yeah. And I immediately was like, I want that. So I went and like made sure there was a copy on hold for me at House of Secrets. And then now I got the sign by Jason Latour, who created the character and wrote this story. It's one of my favorite books that I own. That's why I keep it in a frame.
So you sort of like the character.
Yes, kind of. I really like the character. Actually, I'm going to take this sweater off because it's really hot. I'm also wearing a Spider-Gwen t-shirt. but I thought that it's not the exact same character. Mm-hmm. And even Jason Latour talked about, like, they changed her shoes in the movie. Like, she wears, like, Chucks in the comics.
Yeah.
And then she wears ballet slippers in the movie. But there's reasons for those details. The details in this movie are phenomenal because everything matters.
Mm-hmm.
Every little like reference that's hidden in there is there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And you can tell the care that went into making this movie from every scene.
Mm-hmm. I also, when we had our Marvel DC news crossover on, what day are they? On Tuesday, Mike Kalinowski was talking about how when he went to go see it, you know, of course, Marvel fans know to stay all the way until the end. Well, like a huge chunk, if not the majority of the people in the theater left once the movie was over. The thing was that these are all new fans, guys. They didn't know, which honestly, like if you know your friends going, right, and seeing a Marvel movie for the first time and they've never, you know, seen one. Tell them, like, hey, stay the whole way through.
We're not going to react to it right now.
Yeah.
But last thing before we go into spoiler territory, do not leave the theater until it is completely over.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know.
Yeah.
It's important.
But isn't that cool? It's like all of these new fans. It reminds me of, like, when people are going and watching Black Panther. Like, it's one of those movies that you're like, that's going to change things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're right that when you say like the animation it's so unique. Sony is apparently trying to patent some of the things that went into making it. It looks like a comic book in motion and not like the crappy like iTunes ones where they just like moved still images around. This is like fluid and moving, but uses like the pop art sort of like stylings to make a comic book come to life.
Mm-hmm.
Like even like little bubbles to pop up when there's like sometimes when characters are talking, but it doesn't feel like or like splitting it into frames so that you can see all these pieces just like a comic book would. And they've tried that before. Like Ang Lee's Hulk tried that and failed. It did not feel good. It felt weird. But this movie pulls it off
mm-hmm.
in a way that it's so unique and so good that I could talk about it all day and I'm going to continue to talk about it. But because I can only contain myself for so long and I don't want to ruin any part of this movie for you guys, Anthony, let's change these lights in here to red or pink or whichever.
Ooh.
Pink works too. We can do just do pink. get some Spider-Gwen coloring on the walls. This is your warning, guys. Spoilers.
Yeah.
We are going to talk about the spoilers for Into the Spider-Verse.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Exactly. So, before we do that, thank you guys for joining us. If you're gonna have to tune out right now, we've covered all the news for this week,
mm-hmm.
so you can pause the podcast, go see Into the Spider-Verse right now. Stop what you're doing, just go drive to the theater, see it, and then you can hit play on the way home from mm-hmm. the theater.
When you do have plenty of time to see it, because we won't be back, like you said, till later in January.
Or you could pick this up whenever, but I'm just saying, go see Into the Spider-Verse now. But we will be back in 3 weeks from today after New Year's and mm-hmm. Christmas and just like, so that we're all in the same place. We'll be back in 3 weeks to talk more Into the Spider-Verse and whatever news comes out between now and then. Not to mention Runaways Season 2, which drops tomorrow mm-hmm. or tonight, I guess, if you don't work past midnight like some people. Me.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch Runaways and we'll talk about at least some of it next time. Maybe our old pal Doom will fill us in. He's a different person. I don't know what you guys are talking about. So have a great break. And now, spoilers are going to happen.
Yeah, told everyone in the chat already. We're going into full spoilers now.
Warning.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Right?
There's so many little things in this movie. Like the first thing I want to talk about just the theme that really hit home for me is that idea of everyone can be a hero.
Mm-hmm.
which they talk about. You have a Stan Lee quote about it. It was both heartbreaking and beautiful, and it was just but what I love stepping back from the movie after I saw it, because we could go through all these moments, and there's so many great moments, mm-hmm. but first the theme of when you look at the cast, and like not the actor cast, but like you look at the different spiders that they brought in, and then you go step back into that thought of everyone can be a hero. You have Peter Parker, the perfect Peter Parker, which was the fact that was Chris Pine was
I didn't know
until after when the credits rolled. I was like, I couldn't put my finger on the voice. It was like, it sounds familiar, but it's clearly not Jake Johnson.
Stop having similar names,
guys. Jake Johnson. It's clearly not him, so I was trying to figure it out. That was great casting. But then, so you have like the super hunky guy whose life is perfect, that version of Peter Parker, which does not feel like Peter Parker in all honesty. Then you have what feels like our Peter Parker, whose life is a mess. He's got a gut. I can sympathize with the gut.
Jake Johnson.
But so you have the standard Peter Parkers, and then you have Miles, like the young kid who feels different. He's smart, but he like sees how that affects and changes his life. Like, he's not popular in his school. He's an outcast. Obviously, he's both African American and Hispanic. Just that is like representation right there, and that's just the first two versions of Spider-Man. Then you have a young Japanese girl, Penny Parker. You have a young woman, Gwen Stacy, who talks about like feeling who doesn't have friends because of what her life has become. And then you have Spider-Man Noir.
Oh my gosh!
With played by Nick Cage, who's just the weird like. The weird serious dude who came along, and Spider-Ham, like the joyous, like, so you have a dark dramatic character and then a light, silly, jumping around, completely different species than everyone else.
Do animals talk in this
universe? Cause I don't want to freak him out. But John Mulaney, perfect casting. But my point of running through that list, those are all different types of people, both emotionally and from a purely physical and type of person and age. Like, they're all different, and that's just like everyone can be Spider-Man, if you put on the mask. Like, we can all be a hero, and there's something so elevating about that idea. And I don't just use the words elevate because it's the name of the song, a song on the soundtrack for this movie. However, it is a good reference for me to pull off. It brings the whole thing home in a way that's just like everyone can connect to one of those characters.
That, and also like they touch on, you know, obviously they all have lost someone, and they all are there for him when he loses his uncle, when Miles loses his uncle. And so they all say, you know, like, the thing is that you gotta get back up. And it's like, gosh darn it, that's so freaking inspirational. Like, yes, we've heard that before, but for it to come from all of these like Spider-Verse characters, like, all of these people are Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So for all of them to be there for him, and, you know, the fact that, like we said earlier, like, this really feels like so Spider-Man-y that you're like, wow, like, I really understand. Like, this is the most Spider-Man-y thing you will ever, well, we've ever felt so far. And it's so inspirational. And the fact that it looks so beautiful, I feel like you feel like you're in the comic with them. So you're like, yeah, I am Spider-Man. And of course, like, you know, when Miles finally like really understands how to be Spider-Man, and it finally like hits him after talking, well, not really talking to his dad, because he's not talking to his dad. His dad's talking and he's just like kind of there. When he's finally able to be Spider-Man and he's letting go of that fear and saying, you know, what did he say? It's like a leap of faith.
Yeah.
It really is. And like, that's life. And for all of these themes to really be so normal, like, this is what we all go through. We all lose people. We all feel like, well, I can't do it. Like, I'm scared. You just do it. And then you just take a leap of faith and you really can't be anything you want to be. Guys, honestly,
the leap of faith thing, like, hits so home for me.
Yeah.
Like, like, with, I'm not going to go into details. Like, 2018 has been a year for me on a personal level. Like, a lot of changes this year. And that can make it really scary. And I think a lot of people can relate to, like, you have times where, like, everything seems to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it makes it scary to jump out into something new or to just get outside of your comfort zone. Like, you want that comfort when stuff's not going right.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you just have to be like, no, I'm going to do the thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the weird thing that, like, I've wanted to do, or, like, that, like, is scaring me. Like, this fact that it's scaring me, maybe that's the good thing. Maybe I need to do that.
Yeah.
And, like, I literally left the theater, especially the second time that I saw it. The first time, I think I was just so filled with nerd excitement that, like, that was the primary thing. But the second time, those themes really hit me. And it was the middle of the night, but I was just like, I was so giddy. I took like a 2 mile walk detour because I just was like, yeah, I'm going to go. I like went climbed up on a rock wall. Felt like Spider-Man. It was so dumb. But like, I was excited. Like, it genuinely like made me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk about some of the nerdiest moments in this movie because it's so deeply layered. The like origin stories.
For the last time. No, really, for the last time.
That was the perfect setup, too. Because you had, when they did it, I thought it was just a joke about, like, all right, we've told this origin story enough times. But then the fact they kept doing it, because I think once you get to the end, you do 7 times?
Yeah.
Did they do one for Miguel?
No.
I guess they didn't. I'm blanking out. No, I don't think they did. They didn't.
No, Miles was the last one.
That was, oh God, that last end credit sequence broke. Yeah. That, like, if I wasn't already like a nerdy mess by the end of that movie, the fact that they just surprise cast that, and in case you guys didn't realize, that was Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
In the end. We're talking about the tail credit sequence where Spider-Man 2099 pops up and then drops into the Spider-Man 1967 cartoon with a pointing meme that you've seen tons of times.
I love that so much.
But it's Oscar Isaac. Like, they got Poe Dameron. Disney just made a call.
And the
fact that he's so some deeper lore here. That bracelet that he puts on in that scene is perfectly in line with the Spider-Verse comics.
Because
what they need to... The Spider-Verse comics don't have this super collider causing the whole... It's not the same setup for the how they all wind up together. But there's still, like, breaking of quantum physics with, like, stuff like that. But it's not not a Kingpin conspiracy theory. But they do develop these bracelets... that let you travel the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
And they look very much like the one that Miguel was wearing. And it lets you slip through. The glitches is something unique to this movie, but like it lets you travel between universes. So like that was a perfect like, oh, we're going to use the comics and we're going to use these bracelets and now set up that we're doing two more, you guys, which we've already talked about on this show.
Yeah.
But they can travel without glitching everybody. So we'll be able to do that like... go I through like the that. Multiverse without we it was useful. It put a danger clock on them being in this universe.
Yeah, the stakes are super high.
Yeah. They were all gonna die.
Yeah. Also, I love that Aunt May knows in this. Like she's so freaking cool. Like when they go down to the special like secret
spider
hideout.
Cave.
Yeah. Like that was really cool. And all of the costumes.
All the costumes, like the what I assume is a Doctor Strange cape.
Right?
It looks like a cloak of levitation to me.
Yeah.
The spider buggy being in there, I think it was there was like me and like two other people in my theater who were audibly cackling when the spider buggy flies by the screen. And nobody else knew why these people were laughing.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. Did you catch that the, of course, Sony had to throw this in there. The PlayStation Spider-Man costume is one of those.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, people in the chat as well. I also, the fact that, like, it was just so different and so fun. And like I said earlier, you know, with the trailer, you didn't get to see everything, and it was so surprising. It was just
okay.
It's gorgeous.
We've yelled very excitedly, but we do have to wrap up. I have to go deal with a work like thing. The studio has like other things. Aunt Manthony, I know, like, you can't really can you send us into the quantum realm so that we have more time to talk about Spider-Verse?
Let me try. Yeah, it's not working.
The quantum field generators are not working this week, guys. I'm sorry.
It's out of juice.
But so, Amy, as we wrap out, any last things that just like stood out to you that you absolutely loved? And reminder, we're going to be talking about Spider-Verse again because I'll have seen it three more times by the time we host the next show. Thank you, AMC A-List. Anything that you want to just like get out?
Yeah, well, the music, the soundtrack, if you haven't already gotten it, go ahead, listen to it. Film Music Reporter on Twitter tweeted out that there's a new soundtrack EP that's going to be released from the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse Christmas album, performed by Chris Pine, Shameik Moore, and Jake Johnson. So, yeah, lots of stuff. So, Film Music Reporter on Twitter, go ahead and find them.
You'll be able to listen to it. I'm so excited.
It's really like, it's just everything, you know?
The Into the Spider-Verse album is on all the streaming platforms too. So if you have Amazon Music, Spotify, you can just listen to it if you're already paying for those services. I couldn't get over how well they captured all of the characters at the end of the day. And I think Jake Johnson pulled off an amazing Peter Parker. Like, I want to root for him. And just the writing and the little references. There's one little reference that I absolutely loved. I'm a huge fan of Clone High, which is Phil Lord and Chris Miller's MTV show from way back in the day, produced by Bill Lawrence. There's like two frames when Gwen is flying around Times Square where you can see a poster for Clone College in the background. Clone High only lasted one season, still in my top 10 shows of all time, but I want to shout out that one little Easter egg, because as a Clone High fan and a Spider-Man fan, they crashed them together. It's great. Deep breaths. All right, guys, we will be back with more Into the Spider-Verse talk and the hottest Marvel news in 3 weeks after the holidays. I hope you all have an amazing break. Listen to them Spidey bells for us. We'll be tweeting about that stuff, I'm sure, over the break. Let us know on Twitter, in the YouTube comments, in our iTunes reviews, all those places, what you thought of Spider-Verse, what you're hoping to see in the Spider-Verse sequels, all of these things. Tweet us at Marvel News PTN. Tweet me, Zach Wilson, on Twitter at that Zach Wilson. THATZACHWILSON. Amy, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. And yes, we won't be here, but still talk with us, chat with us. Happy holidays. Thank you guys so much for watching us. You guys are the best.
Yes. Okay. This has been the Marvel Movie News. I'm just going to rock out.
Oh, nice.
Goodbye, guys.
Totally not singing with it. From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.